Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. You are here with me, your host, Nathaniel Butler, and this is another episode of Talk is Deep. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to listen to me. I really appreciate that. Feel free to follow me on my other social media outlets. I'm on Facebook at Nathaniel Butler Official. I'm also on Instagram at Nathaniel Butler Official. You can also follow me at Twitter at My Talk is Deep. That is the official podcast Twitter account for this. Also, you can follow me at Butler Nathaniel on Twitter. That's my personal account. So just check it out whenever you get a chance. We appreciate that. Here, I'm so excited because I am sitting across looking at this beautiful shy girl. And she's my first interview, so I'm super excited. I'm going to be talking today with the beautiful, lovely Olivia Tejas.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, and you?
Looking good, mommy, yes.
Stop.
Oh, man. So she's my friend. We're friends, right? I think.
Sure.
Okay. You guys just seen her face. She was kind of like not looking at me directly in the eye. But it's okay. We worked together for about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5 years. And a little backstory of how we started talking. I actually don't remember the full story. I just remember, like, I came into work and I was like 60 pounds less than I am now. And you were just like me mugging me. And I was like, man, she's mean. I should talk to her. But no, we started talking and I think it was pretty nice. You know, mm-hmm. She probably thought it was awkward. What was your first impression of me, like, when you saw me?
I honestly don't even remember. I remember seeing you come in for your interview, and that's it.
You're like, oh, we got a Negro working here now.
Stop.
No, I can't say the N-word no more. No.
You're stupid.
But it's cool. Like, what do you do? Like, what is your job?
My job here is I'm the cath lab and endoscopy supply coordinator. So I order all their supplies, keep them stocked so they can take care of people.
All right. So look at that. That's a noble cause, everybody. Noble cause. And, like, I know that's what you do now, but is this what you want to do with your life? Like, what do you want to do?
My end goal is to become a nurse.
Okay.
So hopefully that works out.
So, like, what has kept you so far from doing that now? Like, did you, like, start school it? Or, like, was it something that you always wanted to do? Or, like, you decided, oh, I'm going to go ahead and do this?
No, I've always wanted to be a nurse since I was a little girl. My mom used to call me Nurse Olivia.
Really?
I like to fix everybody.
She did not know that.
Really?
No. You never told me that.
I always liked, you know, nasty stuff or to put band-aids on people. Yeah. So my mom was like, if anybody got hurt, she'd be like, oh, Nurse Olivia, fix you up.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've always wanted to be one. Hopefully I may be starting school soon, so
that's good.
I hope it all works out.
Me too. I mean,
thank you.
I think you're a great person, so
thank you.
You're all shy, so stop. I want to talk a little bit about your background. Like, what was your background growing up for you?
So me, I grew up in a small town here in Arizona called Tolleson.
All right.
Some people think it's ghetto. I don't think so. But I grew up, you know, at my grandma's house. That's where me and my brother mainly stayed.
Okay.
And, you know, we weren't a rich family. We weren't, you know, we didn't have the best things, but we had love and we were close as a family. So I take a lot of pride in being from Tallis. And
I know, you do. Like,
I do. I love it.
But T-Town, I'm like, yeah. Dang, girl. Wearing bandanas and stuff. You be scary sometimes. Super hard about Tallison. That's good, though. I mean, I think it's good, like, you show pride where you mm-hmm. came from, because I think it really helps shape, like, who you are. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Where you come from. So I think it's really great. Like, is there, like, a moment in your life, or is there a moment in life that became a turning point into who you wanted to be, or, like, maybe affirmed that that's what you wanted to do?
For me, like, to become who I am now, A main thing was going to high school. I was a very, I'm still shy, but yeah. I was very shy. Like, I didn't talk to anybody. I never spoke up. And once I got to high school and my friend forced me to join cheerleading, I became the mean person I am. I mean, I was always mean, but
now everybody else knows you're mean. That's the only difference. All right.
But that's where I learned to get my voice and be who I am and not take anything from anybody.
Because people, they really do try to keep you down. So.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. Have you had a lot of experience with that, with people just like... Like, was there something certain that you were made fun of, or like something certain you were talked about, like specifically that like sticks with you?
Just being like that little nerdy girl that so busted.
Oh my god!
Big curly hair. I'm dead serious. Big curly hair. Big glasses. A big old gap in my front teeth. I was super skinny. Like, could not put on weight for the life of me. So I was that little nerd that you see on TV, and friends were, I had a few of them, but yeah. It wasn't, that was the main thing that I would get picked on for. And I never said anything because I was too quiet.
Yeah.
When I got to high school, that was a whole new world.
Came with that headband on. Oh my gosh. So, that's a little personal stuff. Well, this is personal, but that's a little personal stuff. So, do you have a love life at the moment?
Yes, I have a wonderful boyfriend I've been with forever. I've been with him for a minute, like 11 years.
For real? Yeah. It's been that long, 11 mm-hmm. years? Oh my gosh.
He says 11. I'm not like 100%.
That's when he fell in love with you. That's
what it was. It's over 10 years. That was before Lila was born, so.
You're like, me, it's like 2 years now.
I don't even know. Like, how long have we been together?
It's been so long. You gotta talk when you go home. That's crazy. So, if you had to describe your sex life, like, would it be, like, lit, or would it be, like, boy bye? whoever you are, she has given no response in 5 seconds. Any man knows that's not a good sign.
You know how I am about talking about this stuff.
You're super shy.
I am. But obviously things are great.
That's good. I'll take that as a good thing. So obviously things are great. As her eyes light up
with
lust.
Right now.
Oh my god. All right. So like, do you think that like being open with like sexuality promotes like healthy conversations, or do you like think that stuff's best kept private?
It really depends. Like, I'm a very private person. But, like, if people want to, express it, throw it out there, talk about it, I'm not against it. Like, it's how you view it,
Yeah,
and I listen to it. Yeah. I listen to it. I hear it. It is what it is, the way people are. But for my personal one, I keep it,
I know. I've been waiting for 5 years to hear stories. I get nothing.
I get nothing.
Go to your house, break into that journal of yours, what you got. So, me, I feel like for me personally, your heritage, like, always fascinates me because it's really big on family. I know you were talking earlier about how you guys had each other, had love, and I think that's amazing. So, it's like, there a tradition that you do with your family that's connected to your heritage? Well, first of all, like, what is your heritage?
I'm Mexican, American.
Okay.
I'm second generation American on my mom's side. And then my dad's family's been here for a few generations. But as for something, we have a lot of traditions on my dad's side of the family because my Nana was so big into wanting things, keep things going. We're a very big Catholic family. So, and our main traditions surround her with food. My Nana was just amazing.
She looked it up in the kitchen? She cooked it?
She was amazing. Oh, yes, man. People would come from...
From Africa.
Places to come eat her food. Like, she was... I mean, people still talk about her food.
Really?
Yes.
That's a great legacy to leave behind. Because people sometimes leave, like, some crappy legacies. You know, like, oh, grandma was mean. Grandma used to beat us. Grandma used to take my cane. No, grandma used to throw down in the kitchen.
Nana would feed you until you literally couldn't eat anymore. Man. And then try to feed you more. She actually would feed anybody that showed up to her house.
Really?
Like, she didn't care who you were. She would ask you if you're hungry and try to feed you.
Wow. Was that type of, like, hospitality, was that passed down, do you think? Like, did your mom do that to you?
My mom was the same. She was very, one thing about everybody is they're very loving. So my mom was the same way, like, do you want anything to eat? Do you want anything to drink? Some of my friends from when I was real little, my friend Rami, she's always talking about how my mom would make her turkey sandwiches. And like, so it's something, yes, that's passed on. Uh-huh. And it's, I don't have nobody at my house. So,
so I just feed myself.
But you know, I had my cousins from my mom's side over this weekend and made them some enchiladas that my mom made. So it brought back memories. But again, it's around food.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think food is something that's a neutral thing that just brings anybody together.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
I mean, you find a good meal, you can have that's the difference to me. A good meal is different between a good night and a bad night. Like, some good cooking, you eat some, or just go home by yourself. Like, yeah. Real. Like, so I definitely understand
that. That's the thing, you send food home with everybody.
Yeah. All right. Do you speak Spanish, or are you a basic bitch Spanish person?
I don't speak Spanish. And I don't speak Spanish because of my mom.
Oh, okay.
So my mom's first language was Spanish. My dad learned Spanish from my mom. But when she was younger, she was, I guess, beaten at school.
Really?
For not knowing English.
Oh my God.
So,
where'd she go to school at?
She grew up in camps that were for field workers.
Okay.
So the majority of the camp, they're called camps. They were more like project areas on the fields. And all of them are Mexicans from Mexico, or they migrated from California to here. Wow. So my mom didn't speak, her and her older brother did not speak any English.
Wow.
So when they were sent to these schools, they were hit until they learned English.
By the teachers. My goodness.
Wow. So when me and my brother grew up and we were a little bit older and understood what was going on, you know, why don't we speak Spanish? She said she vowed when she was very little that she did not want her kids to go through what she went through.
So to spare you, she kept you from
learning. She didn't teach us. But when she got older and she realized how many people speak Spanish now, she did wish she would have taught us.
Yeah.
We understand a lot of it. My grandmother on my mom's side didn't speak English. So we'd listen and we caught on to a lot of it, but I don't speak it myself.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Now, I didn't know if you were just sitting there like just iPhone chatting. Just
no.
Like, no se habla español. No, there actually is a legit reason why.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense because, yeah, that's a crappy thing to go through.
Yeah.
Man, for anybody. Like,
the little bit that I know, like I speak to Lila and she understands it. But it's
Lila's your daughter, right?
My daughter, okay. Yeah, Lila. But it's not like I can't speak it fluently.
Okay.
Or if people here at work speak to me in Spanish, I answer back in English. It's just I don't speak it.
Yeah.
But I understand it.
Well, that's still a good trait to have, though.
Yeah.
I wish I could. I'm learning Spanish right now. I'm listening to this podcast myself, and I've been learning some stuff, so I know that mujer and ahora and pero. I don't know what that meant, but I know what it means now. I'm like, puedo ir con queso. I don't know. But I'm learning. I'm trying
that's
to get there.
That's
I'm
good.
Trying to be a blacks again. On the DL, so I can go to Spanish clubs and just do my salsa or whatever.
You don't need to speak Spanish.
Just don't mess what I got up because you want to learn some languages. All right. So I want to ask you about tragedy and how do you deal with it personally in your life?
Tragedy. I'm the type of person who doesn't deal with it when it happens. I end up dealing or mourning with things months, years later.
Okay.
Because I'm the type of person that jumps into action and needs to handle what needs to be handled right then and there.
Okay.
And then either it hits me or I finally allow myself to deal with what the tragedy is. But I'm always the person that needs to be in the mix and, you know, what's the plan, what's going on, what's whatever.
Making sure things are taken care of before you take care of yourself.
Exactly. Which kind of sucks because
it hits but at the same time, someone has to do it. Exactly. You know, because if everybody's at that point where they're grieving and nothing is done, and that's when communication gets all messed up. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. I mean, it's sadly a sad fact of life, but there has to be that person that's like, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, and just execute it, and then, okay, now I can grieve.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I understand that, and that's actually really great. All right, so is there like a tragedy that actually happened in your life that kind of shaped or set the mindset for you to like, okay, time is short and I need to get on what I want to do with my life now?
Yeah, one, a tragedy that happened in my life that I really never talk about is, or I guess I talk about sometimes, is my mom passing away. She passed away about 9 years ago, and she kind of prepared me to take care of things if she passed. I think she knew she was gonna pass, but she didn't wanna like scare us. So she ended up in the hospital here where we work, and some stuff happened and it came down to, you know, were we gonna pull the plug or not? So she ended up passing away, but that tragedy, you know, woke me up.
Yeah.
I had to become, I was already a mom with my daughter, but I had to become, you know, that support system for my dad and my brother.
Yeah, of course.
So her passing away just, it made me grow up. It really did. Because up till the point when she got sick about a year before she passed away, she still did everything for me.
Yeah.
She washed clothes. She cooked for all of us. She did everything. And so I had to really learn from scratch how to wash clothes.
Just simple things like brushing my teeth.
I still don't know how to iron.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
That's because we ain't black. That's why.
You know, I knew how to cook because that was something she wanted. The rule was, if you don't want to eat what I cook, you make your own food.
Ah, okay.
So me and my brother learned how to, you know, make simple things, but I had to learn to do this for the family.
Yeah.
For my boys and for my daughter. So that's probably something that's reshaped my life. Up until today, I always think of her. I think of what she wanted for me. I just graduated with my associate's degree, and it's something that I know that she would be freaking over the moon, you know? So, and then seeing my daughter grow up as well, because she always wanted grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So, or my brother having his little one. So that's just something that I knew that I had to learn from each person in my family who has left this world. There's a lesson there.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's, like we said, going with traditions or living their legacy, that's just something that losing my mom, something I learned that they may not be here, but you still got to do stuff to make them happy, to achieve your own goals, because they're still there to push you.
Yeah.
Regardless of them not physically being here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that, you know, your family, they're always there with you, even after they pass. So it's like that memory of what they taught you is like a motivator to keep up with what they were bringing to you as far as teachings and family values mm-hmm. and traditions. So I think that, you know, tragedy is something that we all deal with in our own way, and some of us don't handle it very well, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's very good that she was actually, you know, aware of what was happening. She could prepare you for what's to come.
Yeah.
That way, you know, like you said, you were just ready to take care of things. So I think that that's a good thing. My mom, she does the same thing to me, too. And I hate it because she's always telling me, when I die, I don't want no funeral. Just put me in the cheapest box. You can burn me. I don't care. I'm like, Mom, you're not a witch. Like, you're a person. I want to bury you.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, from probably since I was a teenager, has been telling me, one day I'm going to die. And I hate it. Like, she even told me what song she's going to play when she died. She even told me, I was like, Mom, this is too much. But it's like, now at least I know. Yes, you know what I mean? For so, sure. And I think that that's great that, you know, she prepared you. It's not great what happened, but it's great you're prepared because now you're propelling yourself to push yourself forward, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's a great thing. One thing I don't think that's great that annoys me is that you can never accept a compliment, like, especially on your beauty. And it's like, I feel like you deliberately piss me off on purpose by doing that. And, like, why are you like that?
I think I have what I like to call ugly duckling syndrome.
And what is that? What is ugly duckling syndrome?
So ugly duckling syndrome is where you grew up busted. So, like I said, I was the nerdiest kid. And all those insecurities have, even now into my old age, are still there.
I know.
So, ugly duckling syndromes, you grew up, you know, not the cutest kid or, you know, whatever. And then you grow into, you know,
a
better looking person.
Yes, mommy, yes.
Me and
yes.
a few of my friends from grade school, my friend Desiree in particular, we always talk about that because we were just the nerdiest kids. And then she is like fly, though. She was beautiful. But, and she's very confident. I can be confident when I want to, but
I know.
But yeah, that's what I equate it to. I still have the same insecurities as when I was younger, and okay. Now that I'm older. I mean, I know I'm, not to sound conceited, I know I'm pretty, but I just don't always feel like I am, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. And I don't think it's conceited to acknowledge that you're pretty, because to me, I feel like it's a way of acknowledging your worth. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I can offer something, like, physically to somebody, you know what I mean? Because it's like one of the hardest thing, I think, even today, kids grow up like not wanting to know who they are because of what people are telling them about themselves, like, oh, I'm not pretty, or you're fat, you're too skinny, all this stuff. So it's like, I feel like the more people say that they're attractive, I think that the better that they'll feel.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between saying you're pretty and then I say to you, hey, can I take out for a drink? You say, not with that face. That, to me, that's the difference between saying I'm pretty and being, like, conceited, you know, because you're, because then you're setting a standard for saying, okay, I know I'm pretty, so they have to look that way too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
for
you're
sure.
not like that. You're just like, thank you, man. Oh my God, I hate it so much. It's like, it irritates the ass out of me. It really does. But I do understand the ugly duckling syndrome, because I had what I like to call McGilla the Gorilla syndrome growing up.
Oh my God.
Well, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but like so you said,
you grow out of it though, right? You grow out of it. So
hopefully
from,
one day I'll grow
swinging
out
on
it.
Trees and swinging on these hoes. So I want to ask you, we're almost done here. What do you think defines a beautiful person?
I think a beautiful person is someone, honestly, that's beautiful on the inside, has a freaking great heart, treats people with respect, and is just loving. You don't, the outside, you could be the hottest person in the freaking world and be an ass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you could be not the prettiest or best looking person and have like a heart of freaking gold.
Yeah.
I act like I'm shallow a lot of time. I really do. But, you know, but in all truthfulness and reality, like if a person has a really good heart, like that makes them beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Like I don't care what you look like. If you're really nice to me and, you know, just the best person in the world, that's what really matters.
Yeah.
That's something my mom taught me too, because she didn't think my dad was the best looking person.
Oh, jeez.
But she said, when they first started dating, obviously he grew on her.
Yeah.
But she said that, like, he had a freaking heart of gold. Mm-hmm. Like, he was the best man, treated her with the most respect. She didn't know what to do with all that respect. And that's where she fell in love with him. And she's like, You know, it's not about what's on the outside. You could get the hottest guy and they treat you like shit.
Yeah, that's true.
You could date a guy that you personally don't think's ugly and they treat you like the freaking queen you are.
Yeah.
And that's really, to me, what it's about. It's about what's in their heart.
That's good. I totally agree with that. In high school, I remember the people used to get so upset because I used to date girls that if you see, you'd be like, why? You know, just why? I don't know. Like, can you tell me? And people would be like, oh, that's Nathaniel. He'll date anything. Like, they wouldn't say anybody. They would say anything. And I'm like, why does it matter what they look like on the outside? If they're a good person, if they treat you nicely, and the head is bomb, why not? There's no reason not to.
And I always say everybody deserves love.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you look like or your size or whatever, you know, maybe everybody deserves somebody.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you too, like, why do you think or not think you are? But you answered that earlier. So I understand the ugly duckling thing. So.
Yeah, my ugly duckling.
So these are my final questions for you. I want to ask you these and I'm going to get you out of here. I know you got some plans. What in life do you think brings you joy? Like, if there was, like, I know it's probably a lot of things, but if there's one singular thing that you could pinpoint right now, what would it be that brings you joy?
My daughter is my number one, but one thing with her still included is my family. My cousins, my aunts, you know, my brother. That's one thing that, you know, makes me the happiest. When they're around, we all support each other. We back each other. And family is everything to me. Yeah. It's everything. So, I mean, Lila is my biggest joy in life. She really is. And I love her till the end of this earth, or to Pluto, as we like to say. But it's family. Family is everything to me. And without them, I honestly would be nothing.
That's very good. That's very good. And I it's crazy that yesterday I talked about, my last podcast, actually, I talked about lifting the weight off in your life and having those spotters. And to me, listening to that family describes what a spotter is. Like, it feels like they're around you to motivate you, to love you, to show you love, to keep encouraging you. So that's good. I mean,
and I don't like to ask for help from anyone, and you probably see this a lot.
Yes, I do. Beyonce over here.
I'm very independent. I like to do stuff myself. But my family has, they've just stepped up recently and, like, forced me to help me because I don't like to ask for help.
Yeah.
Or I don't like to ask for things. And in recent days, since my dad moved back to California, they're just, like, there for me. And I'm mushy. My family's not, they're not, they don't show a lot of emotions.
Okay.
Not all of them. But I'm like my mom, so I'm like always, you know, in my feelings.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that I can't thank them enough. And I love them so much for helping me out during this time, this transition in my life.
But I think that's like an amazing thing. Like, I think the way you are is because you were prepared at such a young age to take care of everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't really prepared to handle things when you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like for you, it's like, oh, I can do it by myself, but you can't. Mm-hmm. You know,
definitely can't.
Yeah. My mom always told me too, like, we're only here in this world to serve others.
Yeah.
If you're not serving others, then what's the point?
Yeah.
And it's like, you have people in your life that want to help you, per se, serve you. You know what I mean? And it's like, when you break down that wall of stubbornness and I can do it, and like, beautiful things happen.
Yes,
you know?
For
and
sure.
So it's like, in a way, this is like a blessing for you to have this, you know, wonderful family to help you, because a lot of people don't have that. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, well, I don't know what you're going to do. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like ridiculous.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I think it's great that you have people like that looking out for you. I think it's amazing.
Truly blessed. Truly blessed.
So I want to ask you, what is one regret? I don't know, you probably have many, but some people don't have any. Some people have many, but what regret do you have in life?
One regret I have, that I'm going to be changing hopefully soon, is that I didn't finish school sooner. I'm 32.
Ooh. And
you asshole. I had the option, you know, I was in nursing school 7 years ago. I was younger, but Lila was also very little, and I didn't finish. And I really wish I would have had my mind right then, and I could have finished and been done with this, yeah. You know. Granted, God didn't have those plans for me, but that's probably one of my biggest regrets is not finishing school at a young age instead of
doing it now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's much harder now.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say talking on this podcast. I thought you were going to say, I was like, oh, she says that.
I didn't even think of that one.
I'm going to throw this water on her face. Or if you could, like, teach someone one thing, whether you have the skill to do it or not, and it can be anything. It can be something silly, something serious. If you had one skill you could teach somebody, what would it be? So how to twerk on a handstand?
A skill? I don't know.
Maybe answering a question would be the skill.
That would be a good one. I could teach people to do hair and makeup.
Yeah, see, there you go. There's something. Hair and makeup. There you go. Eyes by O. There you go. Look at that. Hey.
Better start my IG now.
I'm patting that right now. Eyes by O. So, what drives you more? The stuff you have done or the stuff you haven't?
Probably the stuff I have done, because I know I'm capable of doing more. I know I'm put on this earth to do more. So when, you know, I take a step, I want to take another step. Granted, it's hard for me to take that next step. But I know that once I start and I put my mind to it,
I'm and it's possible. Get
there. Yeah, exactly.
Sky's the limit.
Exactly.
All right. So, what are you on? Like, do you accept followers on your social media outlets, or are you kind of private about that stuff?
I'm pretty private. I got a lot of haters out there.
Oh my gosh. I do too.
So I got to block people, you know. You have to be blocked on all my social medias, we got a problem.
Yeah,
okay?
Something's wrong. Yeah. Mommy got to go. All right. Well, before we go, I just want to say I want to thank you so much for doing this podcast for me. I know we have issues getting in together and talking, but I really appreciate it. I just want to say I really, like, genuinely think you're an amazing, amazing woman. Like,
thank you.
You really are. Like, you are so attentive to what people want in life, and you're always there. For me personally, like, whenever I was going through something, I would talk to you, and like, you like literally would like cry with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I honestly, I love you for that, because there's not very many people in this world that will take the time to sit down with you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, find out who you are really. I know there's a song that I listen to, and it says, no one will ever love you for everything that you are.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't have to love someone in I want to be with you way to love somebody.
Yeah.
But it's like, I love you in that way that, you know, if I need someone to talk to, mm-hmm. who's going to, like, just be there for me, you're that person. And I, like, honestly, like, I really appreciate you for that. Like, and I really, really, really hope that you go far in life. Like, I see amazing things for you. I really do. Like, I know this right here, I know it's a good job, mm-hmm. but this isn't your future. I know it isn't. So I'm looking forward to see what life brings you. I really am. You're like one of my best friends. Like, honestly, I'm not going to like BS about that. You really are. So I just want to tell you that. And I want to thank you like so much for coming to the podcast. I really appreciate that. All right, everybody. This has been my interview with Olivia Tejas. If you like this episode or like we talked about, if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at @mytalkisdeep. Ask me questions about her or me or about the episode or about how to deal with things in general. And next episode, I'll answer them for you. Remember, again, you can follow me on Facebook, Nathaniel Butler Official. Also on Instagram, same name. And like I said, Twitter at @mytalkisdeep. If you're listening to me on SoundCloud right now, I'm on there at soundcloud.com/Nathaniel-Butler. Nathaniel is actually spelled NathaNael. Okay, I am black, not white. Don't add that I. All right, I would appreciate that. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you guys think. And remember, whatever you do, pursue and be blessed. And more importantly, be a blessing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Sorry.
It's all right. Bye.